So today we're going to turn over to Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm preaching out of this Bible for the first time. It's a little Bible, but it has amazingly large print for this old guy right here. And that's always of concern when I buy a new Bible. You know my practice. I get a Bible when I'm on Christmas vacation. I buy it at Walmart or Target or whatever. It's not a fancy Bible. I think I bought this at Books and a million in Tennessee, in Nashville, Tennessee, when visiting our kids. And I try to read this Bible through, the first Bible of the year, in 90 days, which I'm on my way to do, and to mark it up. But I don't often preach out of the Bible that I'm using to read out of, but I'm going to do that today. So we're in Jeremiah chapter 33. This is the New King James Version, which is similar to the NIV. It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison." Aren't you glad that God comes to us a second time in our moment of need? "Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me, and I will answer you. I repeat, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." Can we all say amen to God's word? Amen. Don't you just feel the power and the majesty of those words? Makes no difference whether I were to share about it or not. I feel we could close our Bibles, go home. And if we got the meaning of that text, we would have profited sufficiently to make it through this week. I don't know about you, but when we part company with a friend, we'll often, if we're talking on the telephone, make some hand motions like this, right? I meant to bring my phone with me, but I left it in the office. But you guys are familiar with the telephone, of course. And we'll make these hand motions like this, right? And we'll say, "Call me." Or if we really want to be Hollywood cool, we'll say it in what the Italians call sottovoce, which means in a soft voice. Or maybe we'll just mouth the words, "You guys out there, call me." Okay? The implication is that if the person calls us, we're going to answer, right? I mean, isn't that what you would gather from that kind of invitation? But we humans can be sometimes fickle and insincere, can't we? And when the person does call us later on, we look at caller ID and we say to ourselves, "I know I told him to call me, but I don't have time right now. Or I'm watching this game right now. Or I'm out to eat with someone right now." And there are times that it is genuine and best not to pick up the phone. In fact, it would be rude to try to intrude upon what you are doing. But then there are other times we just don't feel like it at the moment. We tell ourselves we'll call them back later on. And a day goes by and 2 days go by and the person calls us again. "Did you get my message?" "Oh, I got your message, but I forgot to call you back. I know I said I would." You do that enough times and your friendship is probably going to be on the bubble, isn't it? We say something important has come up and the person on the other end senses, "They told me to call them, but everybody's more important than me, apparently." And we tell ourselves we'll call back later, but we don't. Now God is telling Jeremiah here, he says to him that there will never be anything more important than your call. Now I know Jeremiah lived in the days before cell phones, before landlines, before the communications we have today. But when God parted company with Jeremiah, he said, "Call me." Think of that. God has a dedicated line for every single person in this room. He never has to say, "I'll call you back later." He never has to put anyone on hold. He never has to have two conversations at once. Our God has a phone line dedicated exclusively for you and for me. And he says, "Call me." Now look at this scripture. God has called us. He's called conservatively that God talks to us and we talk to God. And there's nothing wrong with believing that. There's everything right in it. But a theist is an individual who has to admit by the very nature of things that God might not exist. You say, "Hold your horses. I believe God exists." Of course we believe God exists. But because we have no absolute empirical proof that you can share, no matter how many dogmas we have, no matter how many apologists tell us their stories, there is a certain amount of reality that God may not exist. And that is why that we have faith. Because faith bridges the gaps where we do not have those proofs. You follow what I'm saying? We all would have to admit, somebody has said to me before, you're a pastor, do you believe absolutely God exists? I do. Do you admit there is a chance he doesn't exist? There is a chance. But I am putting all my life and all my resources on the fact that he does. Would we all agree on that? But the atheist is an individual who says, in all the expanse of knowledge that there is out there, I absolutely 100% believe there isn't a God. You mean to tell me that you believe with all your heart there isn't a God, and you're an atheist, you don't give any room for there to be a God? There is no chance. And I've heard him more than once say, there is no chance. I'm sorry to say this, I don't mean to be trite, but I can almost guarantee you that Carl Sagan believes in a God right now. And so do individuals who have not believed in that. But an atheist is an individual who actually has more faith at the end of the day than the theist. Because the theist admits in intellectual honesty, okay, it might be so, but I doubt it. Because I believe there is a God. Whereas the atheist says, absolutely, there is no God. And then we've got our friends, the agnostics. And the agnostics are a little bit more honest because it means agnosis. Gnosis is knowledge in Greek, so it means I'm not sure. I don't have enough knowledge to be able to make an informed decision. So you and I have the kind of faith that allows us to believe in God, and we believe that God hears and answers our prayer. But the fact of the matter is that if we do not act upon our belief, we might as well be atheists and agnostics. Because the thing that separates us from all other people is that we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in a God who is there. We believe in a God who did not create the world, wind it up, and just go somewhere else. God is interested, and as a result, when we talk to him, he is imminently desirous to have conversation with us. Would you agree with that? And so, God called Jeremiah a second time. God will call you a second time. Have you ever heard God's second voice? You thought God had said everything he had to say the first time. And it says that it came to Jeremiah the second time while he was in prison. Nobody here is manacled. Nobody here is in handcuffs. Nobody here is behind bars. But I won't even ask for a show of hands. How many have felt in the recent season that you were a bit in prison? You know what I'm talking about. You just felt like as if there's something that's wrong. God will call upon us in our prison. God will call upon us in our tight spot. God will call upon us in the hospital. God will call upon us in sorrow. God will call us as we are driving our car. God is a speaking God. And he not only comes to us the first time, he comes to us regularly. Jeremiah needed to hear a fresh word from the Lord. Does anybody need to hear a fresh word from God here today? But we don't tend to answer God's call when it's not convenient. We have said to God before, call me. And he calls and we don't answer. Or else we are not in the place where we've got our ringer turned on and we hear him calling for us. Oh, there are times of difficulty like we are going through now that people call on God more than others. For example, remember September 11th of 2001. Bright Tuesday all over America. Blue skies. When four jets fell from the heavens, three upon people. Taking human lives in a terrible way, and the fourth in a field that took all the lives of those aboard in Pennsylvania. And if you can remember that time at all, I don't know what it was like in New England, but where I lived in the Midwest at that time, I mean, by noon that day, the church was full of people praying, and there hadn't even been a call to prayer. Every day, there were people showing up at noon on their lunch breaks, not to eat food, which they normally would be doing. Forget the three martini lunch. They were there to pray, even though they didn't know a lot about God. They were theists. They believed in the power of prayer. And that Sunday was bigger than Easter. We went through the end of the year, and for a long time, everybody was calling out to God. But then people began to put their phone away. We don't need God anymore. We've been pulling out our phone again during the COVID season, have we not? I have had people, when they find out I'm a pastor, ask, would you pray for me? You know, it doesn't make any difference what the theology is. I believe in God. I do believe he hears and answers prayer. But how about the future? What's that going to look like? See, the promise of God is, call to me and I will answer you. Aren't you glad for that promise? We're talking, see, about the promises of God, and they are yes and amen. God has said, call on me and I will answer you. You know what our amen is? Pick up the phone. Have a conversation with God. Believe that he will call you and that he wants you to call him. God had a lot more to say to Jeremiah. He had a lot more to say to Jeremiah. And may I suggest to you that God has a lot more to say to you and me. That is why he calls the second time. That is why he calls when we are in prison. That is why he calls when we are going through difficult times. He called Samuel three times in a still small voice. Remember that sottovoce? He calls often in a still small voice. He calls us with a still voice, but he expects us to respond with a loud voice. And we'll get to that in just a moment. God calls us repeatedly in our time of need. People have said to me, what is the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit? I've had people call me in the middle of the night and say, Pastor, I think I committed blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. I've totally rejected God. I don't know what to do. I'm beside myself. My life has ended. I blasphemed God. Well, what has happened is they had some bad thought about the Holy Spirit that the evil one put into their mind. And, they got all upset about that. But I'll say to them, well, here's the good news. If you really have blasphemed the Holy Spirit, he would not be calling you. You would not be worried about him. So here's the reality, friend. You have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit, or you wouldn't place this call. You wouldn't be concerned about it. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is this. When God continues to call and call, and his Holy Spirit continues to nudge and urge, and we keep walking away and we try to get away from his voice, at first we don't succeed, we are miserable, we are under conviction and all the rest of it, and then finally there comes a day we are out of range of his voice. And it's not that God doesn't hear us, we don't hear him. And so you and I need to say, God has called us before now. Did you know that? He's called our names many times before now. He's called our names many times before the COVID crisis. He's called us in our hour of need. Here's the second thing we get out of the passage, and that is that God identifies who he is when he calls us. God is very clear as to who he is. He's on caller ID. Look at verse 2 there. Thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Here's the deal. Before we answer, we know it's him. Sometimes we don't answer because we don't want to hear from God at that moment. We're doing something we shouldn't be doing. We're saying something we shouldn't be saying. But the one who is calling us in our hour of need is on our caller ID. He says, call unto me and I will answer you. How do we know it's him? Because he goes by 300 names and every one of them are programmed into your spiritual cell phone and in mine. Look who's calling you. Maybe it's El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. Maybe it's Adonai, our Lord and Master. Maybe it's Yahweh, the Lord Jehovah. Maybe it's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Maybe you're not well and it's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer, and he's your doctor calling. Maybe it's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Maybe it's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Maybe it's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Maybe it's Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Maybe it's the I am that I am. Or maybe it's the Alpha and the Omega. Maybe it's the Ancient of Days, the Waymaker, the Lily of the Valley, the Mighty Tower, the Shelter in a Time of Storm, the Good Shepherd, the same yesterday, today, and forever, our Redeemer, our Sustainer, our Friend, our Strong Deliverer, our Bulwark, our Great Promise Keeper. Look at your phone. Somebody's calling you, and it's somebody important who wants to have a conversation with you and me more than we want to have with him. Pick up the phone. That's the word today. Pick up the phone. God is calling you to have a personal conversation. And when he does call, he identifies himself three ways. Look at verse 2. He is the one who made it. He is the one who formed it. He's the one who established it. Who is he? Who is this Lord God Almighty? He's the one who made it. That's Genesis 1, 1 and 2, right? In the beginning, the world was without form and void. God made it. The Spirit of God was brooding on the waters. The word make means rough hewn. It is not a finished carpenter. It is the guy who puts up the drywall. God made it. And then in this great universe, this God formed one little planet that by all accounts should be insignificant and not matter, but it matters because he formed us and he put us here. And he calls us like he did Jeremiah by name. He made it and then he formed it. Did you see that he designed in those 6 days our world? That's what he formed it means. And then he established it, which means that no matter what we do, we cannot destroy it. Heaven and earth may pass away in some ways. God's word will not pass away. And we know that this world will not pass away either. Thirdly, God commands us to call out to him. God commands us to call to him. It says at the beginning of verse 3, call to me. That can mean shout to me. It doesn't mean whisper to me. God speaks in a still small voice, but sometimes we've got to speak in a loud voice. Sometimes we need to lift up our voice. You know, I don't watch sports these days. I know it's fake. I know they don't have anybody in that stadium. I know that the shouts are all kind of piped in. I don't know about you. I want some reality. Back in the day when sports were going on live and stadiums were full, people went there. You know why they went there? To rub elbows with one another, but also because of, in fact, the noise. Now, the Bible doesn't say make a joyful noise in the sense of just a cacophony of sounds, but there is something to be said for us calling out to God, for us lifting our voice, for us expressing our desperation, our anticipation, our celebration. God isn't deaf, but sometimes we are. I can see sometimes when I say, can I hear an amen, people behind their face masks struggling to be able to get that word out. And so I don't ask that very much. But the fact of the matter is that behind our face mask and with all the other things that are going on today, I'm glad to report to you that we can cry out to God. And he promises that he will hear and answer our prayer. Call to me, shout to me, lift up your voice to me. I'm not deaf, but you need to feel what it is that you are asking me. Have you ever had anybody make a request to you? And you know deep down inside, just by the way they ask it, their tone of voice, that they really don't want you to say yes, but they told somebody they would ask you. That's the way sometimes God must feel. We had to ask this, Lord, but really, please don't answer this prayer. But Psalm 33:3 says, sing to the Lord a new song, play skillfully and shout for joy. Psalm 95:1 reads, come, let us sing to the Lord our Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 66:1 says, shout to the Lord with joy, all the earth. And at the end of time, there's going to be some noise. You're not going to like the end times if you don't like noise. And I'm not talking about the bombs and those other things. I'm talking about this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. With a shout. With a shout, with a loud call, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And when we get to heaven, this is what we will observe, Revelation 7, 9, and 10. After these things, and I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and they were crying out. That's what we're told to do. Cry out. Cry unto me. Cry unto me and I will answer you. Cry out. We will be crying out. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. God says, call to me. So what does this passage say so far before we get into the fourth and the final point? It says God has called all of us like Jeremiah before now. He called us before the foundation of the world. He called us chapters ago. He called us in our youth. Jeremiah says, God, you didn't make me right if you wanted me to be a prophet. I am weak. I have a weak voice, kind of like Moses did. God says, did I not make you? Did I not create you for this? Did you know that God has made all of us for such a time as this? We are not a mistake. We are here in the will of God. And God says, I have called you before now. Have you heard my voice? And God identifies himself with his various names. And then God commands us to call out to him. And then here is the deal. The real important part of the message and of the text is that God promises to answer us, doesn't he? God says, I will answer you. I will answer your call. I'll not call you back later. I will answer your call when you call me. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Is anybody perplexed today? Any stuff you don't know? I talked to fellow pastors. Nobody was taught any of the things we're having to do these days in Bible college or seminary. We don't know, but I know who knows. And I know if we will call upon him, he will answer us. And he will show us great and mighty things that we do not know. Now that word know in Hebrew, yada, is a word of intimacy. It is the word that is used for when Adam knew Eve. You know what that's talking about. Intimacy, carnal knowledge, passion. God will show us great and mighty things that we have never experienced. This is not just information. This is inspiration. This is feelings that are involved. And I'm here to tell you today that God will do this for us. The world does not know what to do, but our God knows what to do. And he says, call unto me and I will answer you. I'll show you these great and mighty things you do not know. Have you ever experienced that? Sure, we all have. It's not just about health. It's not just about money. In every area, he will do that. But I know that on Wednesday night, we were doing a Bible study here. We were looking at the prayer of Jesus. We were talking about how to pray in faith and so on. And a couple here thinking about buying a house. And it caused my mind to go back to when Vicki and I bought our first house. I was 50 years old and lived in a parsonage. Didn't need a house, but now I needed a house. And you know what? Sometimes we just think two or three agree on earth is touching any one thing means we go down and see the banker, and if he agrees, we got two or three with our wife. But did you know that God wants you to get exactly the house that you need? He wants you to have exactly the job that you need. He has a plan for everything in our life. And the best thing we can do is to say amen to his divine yes. Would you not agree with that? Isn't that what all these promises are about? God has said, call to me and I will answer you. What do we say to that? Amen. I'm going to get on the phone and call you right now, Lord. I need your help. And so we moved to this community and never bought a house before, but thought it would be good to pray about it. How many of you would agree? You think God's interested in where you live or whether you have a house or don't have a house? So we prayed about it, made a list. Everything that was to be in the house was answered. We bought this house in a neighborhood that, unlike all the other neighborhoods, in a span of 8 years went up in value, doubled in value. So we came here, and once again we wrote down 18 things. 18 things we felt that God would have us to have in the house so we could entertain and do other things of that particular nature. And this only came back to me as we were talking the other night. I said, would you like a list of those things? Yeah, I'd like a list of those things. And I went back and I looked at that list myself. And God answered every single thing in detail on that list out of 18 things except two. One of those things was that we would have a bedroom on the first floor because Vicki's legs were very, very bad. And she did not feel that she would be able in a matter of a couple of years to be able to go up and down stairs to the bedroom. So we would need a bedroom on that level. That's how bad her legs were. Some of you will remember that. God did not answer that. You know why God didn't answer that as I looked at it? Because God healed her and she didn't need a bedroom on the first level. But I didn't know that. She didn't know that, that God would heal her. Now, the 18th thing, which was a real fireplace, one day when the house doesn't burn down, we'll probably figure that one out. I don't know. But here's the great story. God will do that for everybody. There are times Vicki and I sit in our house, And literally, we look at one another and we say, you know, God gave us this. I mean, it just happens several times every single week. Look around. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything, because we know it was God. And God, if we will cry out to Him, will hear and answer our prayers. But sometimes He will do it at the very last minute. Have you found that to be so? God will keep you on your toes. Unbeknownst to him, a man who mentored me was Owen Carr. Many of you have heard him speak here. He's almost 100 years old. We never sat down and had an agreement. I just worked with the man, and I began to pick up on his faith. I don't have the faith he does. He's got a lot more faith than I do. But I watched how he went about things, and that I helped with the house and other things. And we had to buy this television station. And we called out to God, and we prayed, and we called people to pray. We thought we had the money for the down payment. But a couple of weeks before, the bank reneged on their particular part of the deal. And so on the morning when we were supposed to close, we went before the AFL-CIO, a very powerful organization in Chicago. And we had to tell them that we did not have the money. They were expecting us to come in with the money. We had to go tell them we didn't have the money. The bank had turned us down at the very last minute. We walked into that office and we were standing when Bill Lee, the president of the AFL-CIO there in Illinois, came out and said, he's ready for you. We went in. We had lumps in our throats. You don't want to mess with the AFL-CIO in Chicago, I can tell you that. And we started to go in when this courier came running in, literally like out of a movie. He's sweating. He's panting. He says, wait, wait, wait. And he pulls out an envelope, and there's a check for $600,000. $600,000. They changed their mind. God answered that particular prayer. And that TV station sold within a few years for $200 million. And the money went into the work of God in other ways. I tell you these stories because of the fact that I have lived long enough to find out that God means it when He says, call unto me and I will answer you. Have you ever found God, when you call to Him, to be a God who answers your prayer? I've got friends maybe who don't call me back immediately, if ever. And I beg your pardon if ever I do that to you. I try not to do it. But we all are forgetful. But God is not forgetful. God is always faithful to keep His promises. And here is His promise to you for this week. His promise to you for this week is, call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you do not know. Can we agree with that? Can we claim that for ourselves? Do not believe the lie of the enemy that would say to you, you're not that important. Everybody here is important, equally important to God. And He will hear your prayer, and He will answer your prayer if you give Him a chance. Let's pray to God. Almighty God, we cry out to you. We cry out to you in your many names. And one of those names certainly fits what it is that we need. It is no secret what God can do. Oh God, we pray that as there are brothers and sisters here today who maybe doubt their legitimacy before God, some of us have a false humility. Well, God will do it for other people. He won't do it for me. But you said to Jeremiah, and by extension to us, that if we would do our part, you would do your part. Help us to place the call with the calm assurance that you are going to answer us, even in the midst of the days we live in right now. Oh, we cry out your name. We cry out your name. Be glorified, we pray today, oh God, through answered prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Let's stand together and sing.